Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I'm Ken Edwards with the NCL. To my right, Ed Maher with the NCL. Good morning.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm not running a marathon.
That's for sure. I'm driving over some marathoners.
You have to peel them out of the front of your car?
Well, I didn't know there was a marathon until I was halfway down
your drive. Columbus. Yeah, Columbus was tricky this morning.
Phil Davidson, Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning. Did I tell you guys I ran the marathon in 2021?
No, I didn't know that. Did you really?
Sure about that? I'm pretty sure.
How far did you run it?
I tell everyone any opportunity I can get.
Oh, well,
I'm sure.
You just told the whole world.
Yes.
Did you do the whole thing?
I did. I finished.
Did you really?
Yes.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Why'd you stop?
They told me the course was closed. I had to leave.
I didn't mean why you stopped that day. That's pretty good, Phil.
Thank you.
Yeah, you still have the sticker on your car that says like 26.2?
Of course.
People got to know.
Oh, do you really?
I'm milk that thing for all I can.
Yeah.
That is so funny.
I've run marathons.
Phil quit that like he quit his comedy career.
Phil is not a quitter in his comedy career. He's coming back.
That's right.
Yeah. You know what?
We don't know when.
Come back.
You know what Phil's good at? Picking football. Phil and I are the only two people who picked the Giants. Woohoo! And yeah. For the first time ever, my son is actually paying me because we made a $10 bet. So I literally mean, Ed, for the first time ever in his life, money's flowing my way.
Yeah, don't get used to that.
No. I'm sure I'll give it back and then some. So, listen, we talked on, so I did Workers Wednesday, right? I usually do it, Ed, and then Phil, you do it too, and I never do it. So I owe a bunch of them.
Thanks for lifting your
finger. No, I'm going to do it for the next 3 weeks, and I enjoyed it. It was really fun. But we talked about, you know, they email you and they're like, hey, what do you want to talk about?
Right.
Like five topics. John Hansen said, you can pick one of those. And they're like, okay, let's talk about.
The time goes fast.
The furloughs.
Right.
But not just the furloughs now. The fact that the White House has said, hey, listen, not only are you furloughed, and also, by the way, while you're furloughed, we're trying to fire you. but when you get back to work, we're not going to pay you. And people are losing their minds.
Right.
And it's just like, come on. Like, you want to talk about kicking somebody while they're down? Like, A, we're going to shut the government. And look, in the building trades, we understand that. You work, you get paid. You don't work, you don't get paid, right? But these guys don't make what we make in the building trades.
Right.
And, you know, that's the nature of our job. We understand that. But they're guaranteed 40-hour weeks, you know, and basically a salary. They're salaried employees. They're not like hourly employees for the most part, correct?
Yeah.
And so the I guess, past practice, if you will, had been that when the shutdown was done, they would come back to work and they would get a back paycheck.
And the president talked about that the last time he was in office, and he made a point of it, saying, like, don't worry, workers, you're going to get your back pay during the last shutdown.
That's right.
And it was put into law, if I'm not mistaken.
2019, they actually put it into law, and, you know, I said what the name of the law is, and who cares, but there is a law that says you get paid, and it says shall. It doesn't say may, it says shall.
Yeah.
And the government's argument is like, yeah, but it's an unfunded mandate. It might say shall, but, you know, Congress has to pass appropriations bill for it or something like that. And basically telling, you know, in some ways, you know, telegraphing to his folks in Congress, don't pass any appropriation bill to pay these people back. So
right.
So what does that mean, right? And in normal world, it would mean like, all right, let's say government reopens, which I'm assuming it's going to. You go back to work. Hey, we're not paying you. What's the first thing you do? Go to your union.
Right.
But guess what? You don't have a union anymore because they took that away.
Yeah, the lights are off and nobody's home.
So now, what's the recourse?
I'm expecting that a lot of these workers are probably going to start going out looking for other jobs.
You would think. I mean,
I think that's the reason that they passed it into law, is because every time Congress can't get its act together, do you want to just have a quarter of the government leave and not come back because they looked for other jobs. Like, I think the back pay thing is just
to keep people employed.
In order to keep the government functioning for the long term.
And now it seems to be it's the antithesis of that. They don't want the government functioning. They want to just get rid of as many people as humanly possible. I don't know why.
The interesting part of it was the selectiveness of, like, you want to take care of your people, and we're going to take care of our people.
Yeah.
There's some people that don't deserve to get taken care of, and we're going to take care of them another way. And I'm like, did he say he's going to kill a bunch of workers, or have I been watching too many Scorsese movies?
You might be watching too many movies. But look, they're paying ICE, right? They're paying, you know, so-and-so, and they're buying buildings here in Chicago, apparently. Like, they got the money for that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not passing judgment, but, like, come on. Like,
you can
like,
pass judgment.
All right, I'll pass
it. It's all going to come down to the air traffic controllers, which seems to be the case every time there's a government shutdown, because, people aren't going to stand for flight delays and cancellations.
And you're not going to pull a Boeing and just bring in people and newspaper ads, hiring air traffic controllers.
Yeah, well,
those are essential workers.
I played Flight Simulator. I know what I'm doing.
I think that the Chicago Marathon was not as well attended due to the flight delays and people not being able to get into or out of O'Hare and things of that nature.
They did have enormous delays and enormous cancellations on, I think, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Yep.
What are we doing here? But are they not essential workers?
I can think
air traffic controllers.
Yeah, there's no job that I can think of that I want to do less. And if there's people who do that and like to show up every day for work and keep them happy.
Yeah, it's a good point. You're not going to replace them, very easily.
No,
and I don't know. It just seems to me that it's short-sighted. I don't think that the public at large, whether you're on the right, left, middle, agrees with, number one, the government shutdown, and number two, how you're treating these federal employees. I just don't think that it's popular, and it's just like I read this thing about immigration, and the bulk of the country obviously voted and said, look, we think that if you're not here legally, that you shouldn't be here.
Yes.
But they don't like the way he's going about doing it.
Correct.
And if you think there's government bureaucracy, a fraud, waste, and abuse, all those kind of buzzwords, sure, great, fix it. But Phil, you said like the DOGE numbers came out or something like that.
Yeah, it was, we were promised $2 trillion in savings.
Yeah.
And the budget number just came out. And the federal budget actually increased by 4% this year.
Good. So okay.
it's up like $250 billion. So we went from subtracting $2 trillion to plus $250 billion.
Huh. All I can say is it's a good thing they didn't pass those enormous tax cuts.
Because
we can't afford those.
That's for sure. I was going to say, the other thing is, too, Trump said, like, hey, every worker bee, you're going to get a check for $2,000 or something like that, right? And that should offset one-tenth of the cost of your new health care bill.
It's basically what we've overpaid for eggs in the last 6 months.
It's not funny, but it's just like, it really is just like, hey, listen, it's a good time to have a show called The Workers, Mike, because there is not a day that goes by that there's not some crazy issue out there that's going on with workers, whether it's on the federal level, state level,
for
et cetera,
sure.
Both the good and positive. We'll talk about something very positive today as well, but we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with more of The Workers, Mike, right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken, Ed, Phil. So, in keeping with our discussion about the Fed and federal employees and all the horrible things that are happening to them at the moment, we hope to have somebody on, the president of, I think, Ed, if I'm not mistaken, it is our only federal employee union that's in the coalition.
Yeah, the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers, Local 777. And they represent Army Corps of Engineers employees.
That's awesome.
That's it?
Yeah.
Just Army Corps?
I think this local. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they were, the head of the union, Colin Smalley, was in the newspaper the other day. We've reached out for him, and hopefully we'll have him on next week to talk about, what's going on and also the lawsuit that they filed. But recently, NASA employees joined in on that lawsuit. And you know what they said? They said that you can't cancel our collective bargaining rights. Why? Well, first of all, it's just the wrong thing to do, but yes. That's not a legal argument. But second, and most importantly, they said, and I've been saying this since Janus, that they have a First Amendment right to collectively bargain, that the First Amendment protects the rights of workers to collectively bargain with their employer. And if that's the case...
Did they cite you in their argument?
They cited Ken Edwards from the Workers' Mic.
Yeah, obviously, they listened to the radio on the way into court this morning.
Actually, they were fixing it while they were listening to the radio. But hey, listen, Phil, they're literally rocket scientists.
Yeah.
You know, like making that argument. So A, it makes me feel validated. And B, I've said it forever. And C, maybe somebody smarter like Bob Bruno or Dale Pearson or Rob Poster or Pete McNamara or some of the are more high-endy lawyer listeners.
Nick Kasmer from the Carpenters.
Hell yeah, Nick. We'll chime in on this and give us an opinion on whether that's something that's going to pass muster or not. And then they also cited the Fifth Amendment. And it's not Fifth Amendment that you're used to, Phil.
Your Honor, I plead the Fifth.
Phil says that in his sleep. To his wife, Bridget, I plead the Fifth.
I'd like to answer these questions someday, but not today.
And so they said, you know, due process. Number one, there was no due process. And number two, they said that collective bargaining and dues collection are property rights. Like having a collective bargaining agreement is a property right. And so that's the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution, right? So finally, somebody making a constitutional argument about why collective bargaining should be protected. And I'll tell you this, if it passes muster, then what happens to the NLRB, the NLRA, even if it's declared unconstitutional or the board is or whatever? They got a First Amendment right to collectively bargain, right? Yeah. I think that would be a game changer. And I think it would make life a lot easier for worker bees that are trying to unionize. You know, I read an article in the Wall Street Journal, right? I'm trying to see all sides.
Yeah.
And they said, no, sorry, this was from the Washington Post. And they said that white-collar workers are the next wave of union organizing, that there have been so many, like, Wells Fargo and disgruntled bank employees, and that they have nowhere to turn anymore, right? Yeah. It used to be like, you know, you're taken care of, you were paid well, the world was your oyster. Not anymore.
No. Well, a lot of people, when you talk about unionization, will say, oh, well, you know, you don't have tech workers in unions because they make a lot of money. Unions are for people who don't, but... You know, I always have to remind people that a union contract can cover anything. Like, whatever your gripe is at work, whether it's about seniority or unjust discipline, whatever. Yeah. If something is going on at a workplace and it doesn't change and doesn't change, people will ultimately realize they can form a union and fix it, just whether like it's wages or anything.
Just like in Hollywood with AI.
Right.
They said you can't use AI, even though that's obviously changing. But
and bankers with AI.
Yeah, right. With everyone, AI. Actually.
There's no question about it. Look, if you're looking at, you know, a Spotify, not Spotify, but what's it, TikTok.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we have a TikTok. And for those TikTokers that are listening
to million
this right
of
now,
you
a million of you have watched us and continue to watch us. Yeah. So we appreciate that. But, you know, I'm starting to see ads now. I saw an ad for, it was a construction worker, and it was all like oiled up, and, you know, it was just greasy, hardworking guy. It was AI.
It was all,
you know,
of course.
All completely AI. And they're like, you know, unions are the blah, 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 blah. And somebody's like, it's like you can't even use an actual, you know, human being to do this. You're going to use an AI to pitch something to unions. I think it was like financial planners, some nonsense.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm digressing. So we're just talking about the First Amendment. And speaking of the First Amendment, Phil and Ed and the millions of listeners that obviously make up our broad audience.
On a slow day.
Yeah, on a slow day. Thank you. So there's another one that came out. And it just like literally, I don't think you can keep up with this stuff fast enough. Because every 5 minutes there's like breaking news, you know. Federal employees, you know, getting jerked around again. Mm-hmm. So the Department of Education, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which they're trying to destroy anyway.
Headed by former WWE CEO Linda McMahon.
I think it's been renamed, actually, the World Education Federation.
Like the war.
All the
department.
Kids only sit in metal folding chairs now.
And they learn how to beat each other with them.
Yeah.
Triple H is their deputy secretary. Yeah.
Do they still eat turnbuckles?
Yes, they do.
That's how old I am.
Good fiber.
So the Department of Education decided to change people's outgoing emails that were furloughed. And it said something to the effect of, I am hereby out of the office because of the radical left won't pass the, blah, blah, blah. And like people like tried to get back into their emails and change it, couldn't.
Right.
Right. You want to talk about compelled speech? Like, there's the government speaking on your behalf politically.
Yeah.
Like, whether you agree or disagree or whatever, they're not allowed to do that. That's compelled speech by the government, First Amendment. And guess what? Once again, what's going to happen? Are they going to go to First Amendment jail? Are they going to go, you should not have done that? Right?
Right.
What's the damage? Like, what's the remedy? The remedy's, don't do that again. Yeah. It just is.
Because he has total immunity, right? Like, what can you do? If that's a directive from the chief executive and he has total immunity, I don't know.
I've got a very close friend who had to put on one of those, who was ordered to put on one of those, and him and some of his colleagues questioned it, and it was made clear immediately to them that this was not a suggestion. Like, you will say this.
Like, we're not asking.
Right.
We're telling you.
Yeah, it's like, you know we'll fire you. We're probably going to fire you anyway.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
If you got on some of these, like, I think I saw one that was like the housing website. It literally, in big, giant red letters, was like, this website is closed due to the radical left Democrats not passing the blah, blah, blah budget, you know, or something. I mean, it's like, this is getting
at some point
it's
when
gotten,
you
it's gotten out
yeah when you're just looking for service from your government and it's like, hey, can I get this, and they're like, no, because he's not doing his job. It's like, right. I don't care, like, just figure it out.
Yeah. Can I get my food stamps? No, you can't. Can I get my SNAP or my housing credits, or can I get my Medicare?
Can I get my social security passport renewed?
Yeah. How
do you point the finger at the Democrats when you've got the presidency, the House, the Senate, the Supreme Court? But it's a Democrat's fault. It's like, come on. I think that's why that argument is falling on deaf ears for the public.
I think people by and large recognize that
you
can have total control and do whatever you want.
Exactly.
But you can't say that you don't on the things you don't want to do.
Yeah. Well, I think they want this government shut down. You know, I think that this is sort of right out of that Project 2025, which is, let's just destroy government unions. Let's destroy as many worker bees as humanly possible. Small government, small government, small government. And why, Phil? Why? What's the end goal here? Privatization.
Yes. Yeah.
Take those jobs, take those services, and give them to the highest bidder. Yep. I swear up and down that's the name of the game.
I think that you're onto something potentially there, because with the NLRB, everyone in union world was worried about who he was going to appoint.
Yeah.
We're all focused. Who's he going to appoint to the NLRB? Back when he took over, it's going to be so bad for workers. He just fired somebody, and I think another term expired, so there was no quorum. And it's like, oh, wait, we never thought of that. That's so much worse. Like, nothing can even get done. Like,
correct.
No ordinary good things can get done. And I think that there's probably a lot to, a lot of the same parallels that you'll see with other government agencies, where maybe they stop working and someone will realize, like, hey, we have no opposition.
You know what? The best way to do this is just ignore everything.
Yeah.
Just pretend it doesn't exist.
Just shut it all down.
So here, let's do this, because there has been news out of the NLRB, right?
There has been.
Yeah.
So let's take a super quick break.
Okay.
Come back and let's talk about the news from the NLRB, and then I want to talk about what's going on here in the state of Illinois, something positive, like very positive for construction workers. So we're going to take a quick break.
Hold on. Before we do, we've got a minute, and I want to use it to give a shout out to somebody who works really hard on our show, and listeners probably hear him elsewhere now.
What?
Because one of our producers, Tony DeNardis, I don't know if you've been listening on the weekends, but he's been filling in on the sports desk.
How do you like that? That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's moving up in the world.
Yeah. Tony, I was sitting in my car waiting for the next sports break last weekend, and it took like 25 minutes, and I got to hear Tony do like 10 seconds on sports.
How was he?
He was awesome.
Was he really good?
Yeah. Listen up for him on the weekends.
Let me just say this.
Did you see the right scores?
He did.
All right.
You would think he would do better in the football pool then.
Listen. Yeah, what's going on with that?
Well, it doesn't matter because we have Ashley. Everybody's beating Ashley.
News isn't about predicting. It's about reporting.
Oh, that's a good point. Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, Tony's doing a heck of a job.
Good.
Hats off to him.
We taught him everything he knows.
The Workers' Mic family, moving on up.
There you go. Look at that. All right, listen, we'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Workers' Mic. More show to come. Sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people, just like you. It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit hingehealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Listen, so there has been news from, once again, we're talking federal land, and we're going to get to state in a second, and some more things that are local. By the way, the nun from Loyola,
yes,
the lucky nun.
Sister Jean.
She passed away.
R.I.P.
Yeah. 106?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah, she was a legend.
It's crazy. Like, Loyola like brought her... Like when they got into the NCAA. Like,
back-to-back Final Fours.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
Yeah.
So she passed away. So and condolences. Back to the NLRB, right? So the National Labor Relations Board.
Correct.
Was created out of the National Labor Relations Act from 1935.
Yes.
Okay. And the board itself is made up of board members on the federal level, a general counsel, and I think there's five board members, mm-hmm. right? There's no quorum right now. And then from there, it goes around the country into what they call regions. So here in Chicago, for example, we are Region 13. And here sits, the executive director of Region 13, a bunch of NLRB lawyers. There are ALJs, which stands for administrative law judges, that go around the country and hear cases. And what they decide is, and this is purely private sector, by the way. This does not affect public employees. Only private sector employees. And also, by the way, those that are not covered by the FLRA, Federal Labor Relations Act, which is trains, planes, and automobiles.
Yeah.
Just trains and planes, automobiles. Yes. So it's relatively, I shouldn't say narrow in scope, but and it's not just, by the way, people always mistake this. It's not just unions. Like, the National Labor Relations Act itself doesn't say the word union.
No.
It gives people the right to collectively bargain, makes it unfair labor practice for employers to discourage people from acting in concert with each other. So, doesn't necessarily mean the word union. Let's go back to our First Amendment discussion earlier.
But it's basically where disputes go to get decided.
Yes.
Before they could potentially go to federal courts.
Yeah, right? It's like,
yes.
Yeah. The National Labor Relations Act is the law, and the National Labor Relations Board is the law enforcement.
Right. Yes. And so what these companies are claiming right now, and this is, we're having a 2 seconds of history lesson, is the Chipotles of the world and Trader Joe's and Amazon, the stupid hot dog stand, Portillo's.
And sadly, Waffle House.
Oh, that's right, Waffle House. Like, come on, Waffle House.
A knife in my heart.
Yeah. You just lost your biggest customer. And so what they're arguing is that the National Labor Relations Board is unconstitutional. Not the act, but the board. Why? Because you have to have a certain amount of hoops to jump through to fire a board member or remove a board member, etc. And what the argument is that that's unconstitutional. I can basically tell everybody listening that you can bet your bottom dollar that when that case gets to the Supreme Court, they will agree with big business over workers. End of discussion. So it will
with
be
the
declared.
Current makeup of the Supreme Court. Yes, it seems
there's one. There's currently one member who is not on an unexpired term. There's one member of
the board,
LRB,
whose
term hasn't expired and isn't just an empty chair.
Wow.
So they appointed. There were two board members up for appointment and general counsel. right?
Correct. Yeah, there were two
general counsel, Crystal Carey.
Yeah.
That is actual.
Her That's name. Correct. She's an attorney.
Attorney. Oh,
attorney.
She's an attorney. But wasn't she an attorney, like, arguing on behalf of some of these companies?
Yeah, Dollar General.
But wasn't she arguing that the labor board was unconstitutional?
Yeah.
So now she's in charge of the labor board.
She will be because she was passed out of the HELP committee, and ironically enough, and is going to go to the Senate for a full confirmation.
Ah, yeah. Okay,
fair Dollar enough. General, General Motors, Apple, Activision. She's
representing. So she's for the worker.
Yes, and she came from.
If by for the worker you mean against the worker,
she came from Morgan Lewis. Is that like the biggest anti-union?
It's one of them. Yeah. Okay. I think so. I think they're known for obviously being a management firm.
Yep.
Certainly not a union firm.
Yep.
You know, she's representing people that are they're remote working from their yacht.
Yes.
I'm going to remote work from my helicopter today.
Not a lot of blue collar.
Actually, one of them is remote working from a spaceship. Right? Where are you working from today? I have a Zoom call. Hey, everybody, can you be quiet down? I have a Zoom call. Can you get this rocket to quiet down a little bit?
Where are you? I'm in Mars.
Back to the news.
There were two
nominees.
That's funny.
There were two nominees who were also trying to get out of committee to be appointed to seats on the board, and that was James Murphy and Scott Mayer.
And James Murphy was an NLRB attorney.
Yes.
Right?
Correct. He's a life, sort of a career attorney.
So I find that as like a neutral pick.
Yeah. I feel the same.
Okay.
Okay. And then the other one was the chief counsel of Boeing, what? Scott Mayer.
Did you say Boeing?
Boeing.
Boeing.
They were, he, at the last minute, he didn't get confirmed or sent to the full Senate because at the very last minute, his nomination was withdrawn and no reason was given.
Well, I saw the
Epstein list. maybe.
No, I don't think it's allegedly. Going to do with Epstein
No, it
list.
Doesn't.
That's hilarious.
But it probably might.
No, it does absolutely not. What I did see was some of his testimony before Congress when he was trying to get appointed, and guess who decided to go after him?
Bernie Sanders.
Josh Hawley.
Okay.
Josh Hawley. You know why?
The right's because Bernie Sanders all of a sudden, yeah.
The right's Bernie Sanders. It's weird. And you know why? Because Josh Hawley's constituents live in Missouri and are currently on strike against Boeing.
Yeah.
Right? And so he's asking, you know, Josh Hawley's asking this guy, you know, oh, aren't you the lead negotiator for Boeing? Aren't you the lead labor counsel, et cetera, et cetera? And he's like, I'm not here on behalf of Boeing. Like, well, don't you work for Boeing?
That is your job.
I do work for Boeing. But, like, aren't you then, like, why isn't this strike? I'm not here on behalf of Boeing. Like, he just wouldn't answer anything.
Yeah.
Hey, at least he didn't attack the the senators like Pam Bondi.
Yeah, that lady is, she goes right in.
Yeah, the cameras are not on, Pam.
Yeah.
They're not on Fox News.
So they withdrew his nomination.
Yeah.
And, you know, more power to Josh Hawley for and Bernie Sanders and everybody else that probably put pressure and not
on
let
the
him
help
out.
Committee.
Yeah, yeah. And
help.
So yeah. Yeah, help me.
Well, the votes, the people who got through on a 12-11 party line vote. So if the Boeing guy was thinking how Josh Hawley might not be willing to vote for me,
well,
you might
be tough
as well.
To, it'd be
better
tough
to quit than lose.
It'd be tough to, you know, for Josh Hawley to vote yay on somebody that is, you know, negotiating against his constituents.
Right.
And
basically an active strike.
3,500, I think, Missouri workers.
Yes. And are trying
to. Not receiving
to,
a paycheck.
Not even that. Also, not just that, I should say, but trying to now permanently replace them.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, you're on strike. We've made a bunch of offers. You know, we've been talking about Boeing, you know, ad nauseum, but this is just yet another wrinkle. And now, once again, they're like, we want to permanently replace you. So when the strike's over, welcome back some of you.
Yeah.
That's just abysmal. That should not be allowed to happen.
We want our jets to fly straight still. We want those things to work.
Well, you know,
Bring back the people who know how to build them.
I don't know. Like, I feel like Josh Hawley, like, wants to come to the good side.
He's still playing on the weird side and a lot of other
issues.
Footsie.
Yeah. Footsie with the good side.
He said to the guy, he's like, listen, you know, you were lead negotiator while your planes were falling out of the sky.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what? Don't you think your workers, like, who fixed those planes and, you know, got you back up in the air, deserve to be paid? Well, you know, fairness is, you know, subjective. And like, the guy's answers were just outrageously terrible. So I'm glad that that guy did not get in.
But we still will not have
a quorum. There's no quorum, Phil.
We got another board member, and yeah. there is a Democrat who's still on the board.
There's one.
Correct?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
I think her term has expired, though.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I'll have to check it out.
I think there's one, and then obviously the whole Gwen Wilcox saga, whether or not
playing out.
Yes, that's ever going to get resolved. I know she's got a lawsuit, but yeah. Regardless, even though that we will have new board members, that'll mean they went through committee hearings. So once they get passed through committee, generally that means they're going to get the support on the Senate floor to get confirmed. But still, we're going to have a non-functioning NLRB.
And what does it look like if you're in a place where the NLRB region is not, let's say, worker friendly, then elections just don't happen. Like if a worker, a group of workers want to form a union, the elections just don't happen.
And you know what? There have been twice as many petitions for elections this year as there have been in many, many, many
workers
years.
Are starting to get it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you need some and sort of protection.
As you know, Jim Sweeney said, we practice at 150. We practice board avoidance.
Yeah,
like we would do anything we could to not have to have an election, have unfair labor practice charges, go to the labor board, because it gets mired down and mucked up and stuck in bureaucracy. So we would simply try and avoid the board.
Win it on your
that
own.
That needs just to win be it, just a muscle new national it out, right? strategy. I what? Mean, it really does.
Of course it does.
Every single labor organization needs to figure that out.
And you know what they should do, plan. Phil?
Yeah.
They should get together, put their minds together, though. You know what? Let's think about ways to avoid the board, because the board is going to be declared unconstitutional.
Yep.
And what does that mean? That means Congress is going to have to, you know, reauthorize the labor board and change the way they do business, et cetera, et cetera. That's not going to happen in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. So we have to figure out ways around it. And in the Fifth Circuit, and I think as you said in the past, the court there said that the board is unconstitutional.
Right.
Right? Was it Texas?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Right? But basically it said if because of the board's unconstitutional, so this employer cannot be held liable for unfair labor practice charges that have been made against it.
Right.
So if you're a company in that region and you have unfair labor practice charges that you've been found guilty of, just file this exact lawsuit, and that's how you get out of it.
But now,
so all disputes then would be resolved through the courts.
Court, yes. Yeah. And then what would that do, Phil? That would jam up the courts like nobody's business for hundreds of years.
Yes.
I mean, it just doesn't have the resources to do it. And, oh, by the way, that would mean I would have to hire a lawyer to do it, or the unions would have to expend their money to hire lawyers to do it.
Right.
And guess what? Maybe that has to happen. Maybe we have to go into court. But you go into court, and then the employer will argue, well, wait a second, that's preempted by the labor board. No, you just said the labor board's unconstitutional. Oh, don't worry about what I said over there. here, it is preempted by the labor
board.
Catch
22.
There will be pieces left in place. Those are pieces that they want to keep in place.
Yeah, it is. It's just, but I think, like you said, Phil, like off the air, like everybody's like, oh my god, the labor board is going to be packed with terrible anti-worker people and think we're going to go backwards. It's just not packed at all. There's just no board.
There's nothing.
Right? It just doesn't exist. Yeah. And they're still making decisions on a regional level. There's still unfair labor practice charges being filed. There's still elections being held, right? So that's actually still going on in most of the country.
Elections are often being ignored, though.
Yes.
In places where workers successfully elect a union, or you know,
but
the company will just say, we're not going to negotiate with you because there's no quorum in Washington, so we don't recognize this as valid. Take us to court, sue us, wait 5 years, like, you know.
But that, look, once again, labor, talking to you now, labor leaders, and quite frankly, not talking to the building trades because you already get it, but everybody else in the world, you got to have a plan in place, right? You got to have a way to put economic pressure, public pressure on that employer to A, recognize the union, sit down and negotiate a contract, labor board or not.
Right?
You just have to figure out a way to do it. And if you can't figure that out, you're going to be in what I call Starbucks land, right? We're going to organize 900 stores. And I don't know how many of those are being closed, by the way, as Starbucks, you know, quote unquote, reorganizes. They're going to close a bunch of stores.
Yeah, we're wondering how many of the union stores
are getting closed. Yeah. Well, I have a feeling it's going to be 900, Phil. I'm pretty sure the number's 900. I'm not a gambling person, but, you know. So they haven't got a contract.
Yeah.
They're not at the table. You know, the new CEO came and said, yeah, we're going to negotiate a contract nationwide. Well, he's gone.
No.
And now you got the new guy flying in, you know, from his jet to wherever he lives. And I don't know. Where does he live?
Yeah, I think he's flying from California to Seattle,
yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. They paid him like $9 billion already or something like that.
Yeah.
But we can't afford to give these guys a contract. But they don't have a plan in place to get a contract. It's just like, hey, we're going to organize everybody, and we hope.
We're doing a one-day strike.
Yeah. We'll show them we're not going to serve coffee that day.
Yeah.
And some states are taking it into their own hands, though, right? And they've passed legislation that says if there's no NLRB, that those decisions labor disputes are going to be held within a state.
Well, Phil, that's a great point.
Right?
And it's something that I think, once again, we should have somebody come in here that's smarter than all of us combined.
Hard to find, but yeah. Okay.
I don't know anybody like that.
And talk about that, because New York has done it. California's right. doing it, or has done it already. Gave Uber drivers and Lyft drivers the opportunity to organize now. Illinois is trying to do it, et cetera. They're having these stopgap laws, basically,
yeah.
that are going to replace the labor.
Why is this not a state issue to begin with? Why does this always have to be a federal issue?
It doesn't.
Yeah.
And so, but then you're going to have a hodgepodge of states, right? I have collective bargaining rights here, but over here I don't.
Yeah.
So that's why I guess it was federal. And by the way, it was federal really back in the day to protect companies, not
yes.
workers,
yes.
because of interstate commerce was getting
right.
you know, all jacked up. But in that same regard, Phil, and I'm glad that you asked this question, New York passed the law. Same thing. It was like, you know, I don't know, the Labor Relations Act of New York. And that applied to everybody, private sector as well as public sector, which is a first. Because normally you can only apply those laws to state workers, much like Illinois has the Illinois Labor Relations Act, Public Labor Relations Act, the Educational Labor Relations Act, which is where the world in which your wife works, right?
Correct, yep.
And so they got New York passes the law, and they got sued. Guess who sued them? The National Labor Relations Board.
Right.
Nice.
We're not going to do it, but you can't either.
You can't do it either.
Yeah, listen, just because we're not doing it doesn't mean that you can do it, yeah. right? It was our idea first, okay? And, you know, you need to go away. You can't do that. And it's just, that's outrageous.
That is,
it's nutrageous, right? Like the candy. It's nutrageous.
It really is nutrageous.
Yeah.
Nutrageous. Is that a sponsor?
It's soon to be.
Nutrageous if you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Please don't be union busters.
Yeah. You have a nut allergy. So that's what's going on, like yeah. macro. Do we have time to talk real quick about Illinois or no?
I think we come back maybe.
Come back and yeah, have some good news.
Break.
All right, listen, we're gonna end the note, end the show on a positive note. And we will be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Said we're going to end with some positive news, and we are. Okay, let's go.
Okay, so this week, the Illinois Department of Transportation unveiled its five-year plan for roads, bridges, all the transportation infrastructure.
Capital plan. Right.
Exactly. And over the next 5 years, they're going to spend, wait for it, $50.6 billion. Yeah, that's that's an enormous number. And that's mainly through, you know, bills that were passed here in Illinois.
Yep.
It's not federal money, money that comes from the U.S. DOT and the Federal Highway Administration. That's all separate. This is $50 billion worth of infrastructure work that's going to happen in Illinois. So if you're a motorist, after the construction's all done, there won't be so much traffic. If you're a construction worker, I bet you are working or know someone who's working on one of these projects, because this type of work and these types of plans are really unheard of in other yeah. parts of the country.
It's tens of thousands of jobs. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. These are long-term
it's
jobs.
It's millions and millions of man hours yes. that are going into these jobs. And it's things that, you know, if you like, do you remember like the thing that we had, look up, like go under a bridge, look up,
yeah,
right? You'll immediately see why we need
yes.
these things. Like for our bridges sure. are in disrepair,
and they're getting better.
Just falling concrete, yes,
yeah, no kidding. So it's all of those, right? It's pure infrastructure,
and everyone is working. Every trade, every craft,
the trades are busy.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good for the trades. And you know what? When you can't, and listen, once again, say what you want about Pritzker. I don't care what you say about the guy, right? Number one, he steps up on behalf of Illinois. End of discussion. And number two, you know, he's passing things like this when the federal government is canceling
right.
construction jobs.
Well, this is
right?
like so, insulation.
So, yeah, so I'm going to say this for our TikTok listeners. You know, Look at Illinois. Look at what Illinois is doing, right? We are a hard unionized state. We got about a million union members here, a lot of construction workers. But look at what Governor Pritzker is doing. Say what you want about the guy, liberal or not, doesn't matter. Don't care, right? He's providing jobs for workers when the federal government right now, the Trump administration, is canceling those jobs. They're taking money back. They're clawing money back from green energy, from windmills, from wind farms.
From trains.
From trains, right? Yeah. I mean, things that are desperately needed. And by the way, things that have already been 80% completed. Yes. They're like, yeah, we're going to stop that job right now. Let it sit where it sits. And we're going to invest in coal.
Yeah.
We got 16 coal jobs for
you know who
guys.
Doesn't want to invest in coal?
Who?
Coal miners. Yeah. Like, please. They're let the ones us that do something
to,
else.
Yeah. They're the ones that have to go mine the coal.
Yeah, can you find us an office or something?
Listen, didn't we learn our lesson about coal?
Did we?
I don't know. Black lung?
Apparently, I didn't learn anything.
Coal miners getting shot?
One in five or something?
Oh,
my God.
It's terrible. All right. So anyway, that's the good news. And we'll have some labor folks come in and really drill down and talk about what this means for Illinois workers. But all right, listen, got to wrap it up. We will be back next week with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.